Pastor Stephen Carter has pastored three different churches. You can read his biography there in the booklet. There's a biography of each speaker. But Pastor Stephen Carter is such a great friend, and he just took a church in West Virginia, which is the same church that Mike and Kathy Worf pastored for 21, 22 years, I believe. And Stephen Carter now, and through no connection to Mike, they didn't even know each other at the time, and I didn't know Mike when Stephen went up to candidate. And at the same time Stephen was candidating for the church in West Virginia, I met with Mike and Kathy Worf for membership here at Crossroads. And we put two and two together and realized Stephen was going to the same church. Isn't that amazing? And so Stephen has a wonderful work that he's doing up there, building on that foundation that Mike Worf laid. And so I'm going to ask him to come, and he's going to bring our first message of the conference, Overcoming Adversity and the Adversary. He's preached here before, preached in our Bible conference last year. You glad to have Brother Stephen back with us today?
Thank you, brother. I love you, man.
You want the booklet or no?
No, it's okay. All right. Well, it's a blessing to be here, and it's good to see everyone again. And this is something I've been excited about and looking forward to here since last year. I think we had our conference here end of May last year, and I've been looking forward to ever since when I knew Brother Dan was going to continue to have the conference. It was such a blessing to me and my family, and for us to get to come back is a blessing. I didn't get to bring everybody back. I only got to bring my oldest daughter, and my mother's here with me this morning, but my wife and my three other kids had to stay home because they had so many snow days in West Virginia. School's still in until like June the 17th or something like that. So my original plan was we were going to drive the whole family down, but we had to leave some of them behind so they could finish school. But it is good to see Pastor Mike here and Miss Kathy this morning. I've been amazed in the last year. I've been where God's planted me in West Virginia, the great work that God used them to do for so many years up there. And what a blessing to get to minister and reap the benefits of all the work and the blessing that they've been in that area. It's just been tremendous. But Pastor Dan, of course, is a special fellow to me. I'm sure he is to you, but he's your pastor, okay? He's my friend. I feel like he's pastored me, but I've never been a member of his church before, but he's been such a blessing to me. He's just a special, special person. Love his family as well, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. If you go to Romans chapter 8, this is our theme passage for the conference this week. So excited for this conference. Glad that you're here this morning. I know that you'll be able to get in on more of this throughout the week and a lot of the wonderful preachers that will be here. But Romans chapter 8, we'll start looking here in verse number 33. Now, we're going to talk about how we're more than conquerors. If you would just pay attention to what happens in the world, if you just paid attention to the headlines in the news, you would think that we were the conquered and that the god of this world, Satan himself, is the conqueror. But that's not how it is, because we know what the book says is true, what the Bible says is true, and let God be true and every newscaster a liar. Amen? Okay? I think it says that somewhere in there. So we actually have the victory, no matter how your outside circumstances try to pull you down in this earthly life, the sufferings of this present time, no matter what you have to deal with, we actually, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the victory, and thus we're the conquerors, we are the overcomers in Jesus. Now, you just got to pay attention to the Lord Jesus and His Word and just tune the other stuff out. You got to deal with it, but you just can't let it sink in and affect you. And that's what we're going to try and talk about for a few minutes this morning together. Did you hear about the fella? He'd been through a rough time. Oh, he was an older gentleman, and he just, you know, he'd had a lot of rough twists and turns in his life, and he was in town, and his friend met him on the street there, and he says, "Hey, haven't seen you in a long time. How's things going? Let's get caught up. How you doing?" He says, "Well, I got married." And his friend said, "Well, that's good." He says, "Oh, not so good. She's ugly." He said, "Well, that's bad." He says, "Oh, not so bad. She's rich." He says, "Well, that's good." He says, "Oh, not so good. She's stingy." He says, "Oh, that's bad." He says, "Oh, not so bad. She built me a house." He said, "Well, that's good." He says, "Oh, not so good. The house burnt down." He says, "Oh, that's bad." He says, "Oh, not so bad. She was in it." See, we're conquerors. Amen. All right. Here's here in Romans chapter 8, we actually have the eternal word of God, not some silly jokes like people like me like to tell. But Romans chapter 8, let's look here at verse number 33, and we won't get to comment on everything, but we'll zone in here in a minute here on verses 35 and verse 37. But Romans chapter 8, verse 33, the Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written," here's a quote from the Old Testament book of Psalms, number 44, verse 22, I believe it is, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." But I'm especially this morning, for with the time that we do have, I want to look at verse number 37, where the answer to the question is, can we be separated? Can we be condemned? Can these things overcome us? The answer to the question in verse 37 is nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together for prayer. Thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for this special place, and I thank you for how it's been so special and a blessing to me. Now, Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you'd help us to clear our minds and our hearts of all the things that we deal with on a daily basis. And sometimes we're overwhelmed with just the normal things of life. Father, I pray that you give us a break and some space from that for a moment, that we may be able to tune into your word and to get your message. I believe it's for us this morning. This conference is for us this week, Father. I just pray that you'd help us in the next few minutes to open our ears, open our hearts to you. Now, Father, may your word go forth and be used mightily this morning. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified as we point all men to him. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, my subject is overcoming adversity and the adversary. Now, on Wednesday nights, and I can't go back and I'm not going to try to go back and reteach or reintroduce all the wonderful things y'all have been doing as a church family, but Brother Dan and the other preachers have been talking to you about how the adversary, Satan himself, has a plan and a policy of evil that he tries to implement, and he does implement on planet Earth. And he's not just worried with the ones he's already got, the unsaved folks. He has a policy and an operation where he targets saved people. And that's what y'all have been talking about a lot, on taking a bird's eye view and looking through the scripture, how Satan, how he has worked, how he is working. You've been doing that on a lot of your special meetings there during the week. Well, the first part of our notes, as we look at them together this morning, the name Satan actually means adversary. That's what it means. We know that the anointed cherub that covereth had a name. His name was Lucifer back in the Old Testament. Won't look at all those passages. But the word and the term and the name Satan with a capital S actually means adversary. He's an adversary to God, which those of us that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that means he's our adversary as well. And that's what this passage is talking about. The adversary is trying to take his plan of evil and his operations, his policy of evil. He's trying to affect our everyday life, and he is a good devil at what he does. He is an adversary. He presents adverse circumstances to us day in and day out. This is supernatural adversity that he's trying to put on us. That's what it is. It's not natural. It's not like one man's arguing with another man. They're going to stand toe-to-toe and find out who's the best man and, you know, and move on with their life. No, that's not how it is. This is not natural. This is supernatural adversity. The Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think we're each other's enemies, but we're not each other's enemies. Flesh and blood is not our enemies. It's those spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the puppet master pulling the strings of the flesh and blood down here. So this supernatural adversity is referenced here in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 38. all these things it talks about there in verse 37, and then all that supernatural adversity there, the principalities, the angels, the powers, all that in verse number 38, it's referenced right there. Here's the good news, and we've been singing about it this morning. Brother Dan's already mentioned it. It'll be mentioned many times. Jesus Christ has conquered the adversary. He has. He's pulled the stinger out of death. He's taken care of sin. And so if he's taken care of sin, then death has no claim on us in Jesus Christ. And when death has no claim on us in Jesus Christ, it's made the devil a powerless devil. That's what it's done. So Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He is the overcomer, and all of us in him are also overcomers. But that's the big picture. What about the everyday picture? The adversity we deal with. Do you think Jesus would give us the ultimate victory but not give us the daily victory? That's not how our Savior is. We serve a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Savior to me, like the old song says. And he not only gave me salvation for all eternity and victory, but he's given me victory every day. I just have to appropriate it by faith and claim it according to God's word. He's accomplished all this. So what we need to do, according to the passage, what we need to do, me and you, is we need to be persuaded that we have the victory every day. So God's word goes about to persuade us. The Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I was going to give you a list of conquerors from history. I remember studying conquerors and when I was in school. I remember William the Conqueror. Do you remember him? I remember his name was William, and he went around conquering and stuff like that. And I don't know why you can't recall it. I recall every bit they taught me. But I actually have a whole list of conquerors and the millions of square miles they conquered in their lifetime. But that's what the world thinks is important. And that's what the world tells us we have to memorize as far as historical facts when we're growing up through the education system. But the Bible doesn't speak of it that way. The Bible's talking about being a conqueror on a higher level than this earth. Amen? Being more than a grand property owner and having a lot of resources, natural resources at your disposal. No, being conquerors in Jesus Christ is so much more important. And so let's go through a couple things here this morning according to the passage that helps us understand how we are more than conquerors. The first thing I want to look at is verse number 35. Verse number 35. Now, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. So what's the all these things? Well, we just skip back over the Old Testament reference in verse 36, and we look at verse 35, and here's a whole list of things that God gave us that we're more than conquerors over. Now, here's the list again. Let's read it real quick. It says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Shall those things condemn us, as the previous passage said, or shall they separate us from the love of Christ? Well, of course, the answer here in verse 37 is nay. Now, I had to look that up in the Greek to find out what the word nay means. And in the Greek, Brother Dan, it means no way, Jose, right? That's what it means. No, that's an old English way of saying no, capital N, capital O. No, of course those things can't separate us from the love of Christ. But when you're going through those things, you feel like you're separated from the love of Christ. We're just human, and when things get tough and adversity is high, we feel like God's a million miles away. That's how the adversary wants us to feel. But it's not true. Don't believe it. Don't believe what your eyes tell you physically sometimes, or your ears or your mind thinks sometimes. Just go back to the Word of God and get the truth right there. And if you'll focus on the truth, it'll bring you through the adversity you're dealing with. So the adversities of verse 35 cannot conquer us. They cannot separate us from the love of Christ. We are not the conquered. But we in Christ Jesus are more than conquerors. Praise the Lord for that. Now, here's what's interesting to me. This list in verse 35, and that's pretty much what I want to spend our time on this morning. This list is a list that God gave us. Now, if I were to make a list for you this morning about adversities, I'd probably deal with the things that I've dealt with, maybe. Those adversities. That's what I would say. Here's a list of adversities. Here's what you gotta, here's what you have to deal with. God gives us his list, and his list is more important than my meager experiences here on planet Earth. when God gives us a list, we ought to let our antenna run up and understand what it means. He's covering everything that we have to deal with. A list that God gives, the general kinds of adversity that believers, saved folks, face in our earthly life. So Satan, the adversary, is going to attack us in such a way to try to use this list, these things, to make us feel separated from the love of Jesus. God already knows how the adversary operates. Since he knows how the adversary operates, he's been dealing with the devil a lot longer than we have. Since he already knows how the adversary operates, he passes understanding and knowledge on to us so we are not ignorant of his devices, like the Bible says. So that's what I want to spend a little bit of time. It's just like we put in the notes this morning, we win the victory over the adversities of this life when we recognize that God has given us the enemy's battle plans. Battle's no fun, but battles, you have a whole lot better opportunity to be successful if you know what the enemy's going to do. You're not facing the unknown. God gives you the known and an understanding of how to deal with things. No, Satan can't get an advantage of us, 2 Corinthians 2:11, because we are not ignorant of his devices. Unless you choose to ignore what the Bible says, that makes you ignorant if you ignore this. But if you don't ignore it, you're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So let's go through this list here in verse number 35 and try to see how that applies in a general sense to our earthly life. We don't want to be ignorant. We need to make sure that we're not ignorant of the adversary's attacks. Here's the first thing in verse number 35, if you look at it, after the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The first part of the list says, shall tribulation. Now, tribulation, not referring to the prophesied tribulation period that's still yet to come, but this is talking about the tribulation that's here right now, the trouble that we face day in and day out, every day. The sufferings of this present time are on a sin-cursed ball of dirt. That's where our present abode is at. And as long as you're here in this earthly realm, sin is operating at this time, we're going to have to deal with trouble. Just like the book of Job said, if a fellow ever dealt with trouble, it was Job in the Old Testament. Job 5:7, he says, man is born unto trouble. What did he say? As the sparks fly upward. And he said in chapter 14, verse 1, he says that man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. It's just in our existence here on earth that we will have to deal with trouble. Trouble dogging my soul since the day I was born, you know. Trouble is something you have to deal with all the time. It's everything. It can come from you. It can come from others. It can come from circumstances way out of your control. It can come from leadership high above you making laws that are not right, that affect you in an adverse way. Trouble is everywhere. You don't really have to look for it. It finds you. Yet, God says the trouble that you deal with on a day in and day out basis can't separate you from the love of Christ. You might feel, oh, trouble, so much trouble we're dealing with. Oh, where's the Lord? Oh, the Lord is right here, brother. He's right living inside you if you belong to him, and he's right here in his word, and he will help you through the trouble. Just remember, the sufferings of this present time, the trouble you deal with right now, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The trouble we face now, it might seem overwhelming, it might seem like it's too much, but I promise you it's not. One day in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, in him the fullness that filleth all in all, it'll be worth it. You'll say, that trouble I faced down there wasn't nothing to be compared with the glory I'm understanding right now. And you got to get your mind back on that when you're dealing with trouble. We face trouble. The next thing it says in the list, verse 35, it says distress. What's distress? You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8? He said, we are troubled on every side. That means he was troubled to the north, south, east, and west. Everywhere he looked, there was trouble. We are troubled on every side, he says, yet not distressed. What does that mean? You can have trouble all around you, and that's how it's pretty much going to be for us believers until the Lord appears for us and gathers us together unto him, the rapture. There's going to be trouble all around you. It's going to compass you. It's going to set a compass on you. But as long as that trouble stays on the outside, it's not near as harmful as you letting it in on the inside. So distress is double trouble. Trouble on the outside. Outside trouble makes its way to the inside. So you're dealing with outside trouble. Nothing you can do about that. But you can do something about whether you let that trouble make its way to the inside. Paul says, and boy, me and you, we have not faced the trouble that Paul faced. Paul, everywhere he went, they were after him. I've never been let down in a basket, and I'd taken a big basket, by the way, but I've never been let down in a basket over a wall in the middle of the night just to get out of there by the skin of my teeth and escape with my life. I've never been shipwrecked and had to bob up and down in the ocean for a long time, kicking the sharks off me. I never had to do any of those things, but Paul did. And he visited every dungeon and prison all throughout that area. All that biblical geography, he did all the sightseeing. It's just in the wrong places. It's in the prisons. He was beat publicly. He just had a tough time. Trouble was everywhere, he says, but not distressed. It's all around me, but it didn't get in here. Die stress. That means double stress, doesn't it? Doesn't die mean two? Twice as much stress. Someone says if you take the word stress and you spell it backwards, it's desserts, right? That's how some of us deal with stress, but that's not good either, okay? No, distress is something that we, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can have the victory over. Yes, there's outside trouble, but it does not have to make its way to the inside. Next thing in the list, verse number 35, is persecution. Well, in the context, I'm defining the words here, and I believe I've defined it in the context as persecution is trouble from others. You can persecute yourself, but most of the time, persecution is going to come from an outside source. Persecution is trouble from others, and I'll go on to say it this way, not dogmatic, but how I define it is it's trouble from others that you do not deserve. Don't you think that the adversary, we can say it this way, we know that you're going to reap what you sow. If you make bad decisions, you're going to get bad results. That's just how it works in our life, and we could all stand up and testify that we've experienced that before. But we almost know it's coming when we deserve it. Sometimes we just have to take it like a man or whatever the cliche that you want to insert right there. But when you've been doing good and making right decisions, and then you have persecution come on you. That's when the adversary really tries to wound you. Oh, there's a lot of believers. But Lord, I was doing good. Lord, I've been in church. Lord, I've been in your word. Lord, I've been trying to support your cause. And then, you know, this happened and this happened. Look what happened in my family. Or look what that doctor just told me my health report was. You know, and you want to feel wounded and hurt like God has let you down. No, the adversary uses that type of persecution against us. 1 Peter, I think I gave the wrong reference in my notes. I apologize for that. But it's chapter 2, verse number 20. Let me read it to you, 1 Peter 2:20. The Bible says, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your fault, beat down, ye shall take it patiently." I mean, it was your faults is the reason you're taking this beating anyway. "But if when ye do well," so not your faults, but when you've made good decisions, when you're doing well, "and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." See the difference? God says, now you have a chance to glorify me. Anybody knows, oh, he had that coming to him. Look at the way he's been living his life and the way he's been making decisions. Of course it's going to turn out that way. Of course it is. That's perfectly sensible that's going to turn out. But then there's a fellow, oh, he's been serving the Lord and giving the Lord the benefit of the doubt and seeking the Lord in everything he does, and yet then he's still getting pounded and pounded and pounded. But if that person has a testimony, say like Job or like Paul, where they glorify the Lord even in the midst of that terrible persecution and adversity, then that's acceptable unto the Lord. What a great testimony, taking your test of life and turning it into a testimony for the Lord Jesus. That's good stuff right there. I don't say that we necessarily are super excited about it or want to embrace it, but that's good when it does come. Persecution, trouble from others that you don't deserve. Then there's famine and nakedness in the list. Oh, well, that's just for people that lived a long time ago. No, famine and nakedness represent the physical necessities of life. trouble with the physical necessities of life, if you don't have anything to eat and you don't have anything to cover up with, then you're lacking the bare necessities of life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content," right? We need the food and we need the raiment. That's just par for the course here being on planet Earth. Well, the adversary will attack those things as well. Think about the nation of Israel. I'm probably going to run out of time here in just a second, but I'm going to have to speed up. But until I do have to speed up, let me keep going. You remember the adversity that the nation of Israel faced in the wilderness? What happened? Food dropped from the sky, right? Manna. Man did eat angels' food. The corn of heaven, I believe it says in the Psalms. And I've always called them Krispy Kreme donuts, but I don't know if that's an accurate translation or not. But God intervened. That's what we want. When we're lacking in physical necessities, we want God to intervene in that way. We read over those passages. What about, like it says here, the next part in the list in verse 35, it says peril. Well, that means your physical life is in danger. You can read about Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:26. But then you can go back to the Old Testament and find out when Israel or the prophet Elisha was in danger. 2 Kings 6:17 is a reference I thought about just recently. And the servant was all upset, and Elisha prays and says, "God, would you open his eyes?" And his eyes are open, and boy, there's chariots and a fire, an army of, a supernatural army all encompassing the mountain. That's going to make you feel a lot better, right? Supernatural intervention. The last part of the list here in verse number 35 is the sword, where your physical life can actually be taken by the adversary. That got my attention. I've studied this a little bit. Don't have time to talk a lot about it. But your physical life can actually be taken as part of the adversary's policy of evil and what he tries to inflict on us. Hebrews 11:37 is our reference for that. A lot of the martyrs, they were killed by the sword. They were sawn asunder, it says in Hebrews 11:37. You think about the Old Testament where God sent that one angel and he took care of 185,000 Assyrians. And when they woke up in the morning, they were all dead, right? Something like that. Supernatural intervention. Think about that. But see, here's the thing. God doesn't operate like that today. We're not waiting for the manna to fall. We're not waiting for the fiery supernatural army to encompass the Daytona Beach or anything like that. We're not waiting for that. We're not looking for that. We're not waiting for an angel to come and slay all the enemies of America. We're not. That's not how it works today. See, we have to get in tune with how God says we are supposed to deal with this. And this is interesting to me, and I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but when we face the adversities of verse number 35, all this policy, all this, these attacks that the adversary puts on us, we have to have a godly response when we deal with these adversities. 1 Timothy 4:8 talks about it. Godliness is being like God. It's thinking like God thinks. It's conduct that follows God's word. Some good references that we could take time to look at. But here's the area of confusion that too many Christians get into. They want the miraculous. They want the signs and wonders. They want it to be like the Old Testament or in the Gospels or in the early part of the book of Acts. They want that foretaste of what God was doing in his prophetic program with the nation of Israel, bringing in that kingdom because it was at hand. But the kingdom's not at hand today. And today, the outer man is not the focus of God's activity. No, it's the inner man. God is doing something far more wonderful. He's doing something more, I guess you could say, far more eternal than temporary healing and outward signs. He is working in our inner man, in the inner man of the believer. He's strengthening us by the Spirit of God to be able to glorify Jesus in every circumstance of life. So yes, we will go through the list of verse 35. And yes, God's not going to send an angel most likely to get us out of Dodge when the going gets tough and people are calling us out at high noon or whatever else. That's not going to happen. But he's going to give us the grace and the knowledge and the understanding and his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and his word to instruct us to deal with it and be a great testimony for our Savior. That's what he's going to do. That's how he deals with it. That's his policy. that he's put in place for me and you to implement. Oh, do you doubt how good our Savior is to us? He's a wonderful Savior. He's accomplished our salvation, our forgiveness, our reconciliation, our eternity. He's granted it to us by his finished work. He's done all that for us. And if he's done all that for us, he's given us the capacity to deal with and to overcome the daily things we face. Oh, it's no fun having health problems, but you can overcome those health problems knowing they're but for a moment. They're a light affliction. Oh, it's not light. And the eternal view of things, it's a light affliction. No matter how bad the news is the doctor gave you, it's a light affliction in light of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and his purpose and plan he has for me and you. Oh, doesn't that make you feel secure today? That Jesus, you belong to him, and he's given you the instructions how to deal with the problems and the troubles, the adversity of everyday life. I have to finish, so I'm going to finish. this story I read recently about this group of botanists on an expedition into this hard-to-reach location in the Alps. They were searching for these new varieties of flowers or whatever. And so one day, this scientist, as he was looking through his binoculars, he saw a beautiful rare species of flower growing at the bottom of a deep ravine. To reach it, someone was going to have to be lowered into that gorge. He noticed a local youngster standing nearby, and the man asked him if he would help them get the flower. The boy was told that a rope would be tied around his waist, and the men would then lower him to the floor of the canyon. It was going to take somebody pretty small to get down there, and he was the only one that could do it. Well, he was excited to help, but he was also apprehensive about the adventure. And as he looked down into the deepness of the chasm there, he says, "Wait, I'll be right back." And off he dashed. When he returned, he was accompanied by an older man. And approaching the head scientist, the head botanist there, the boy said, "I'll go over the cliff now and I'll get that flower for you, but this man must hold on to the rope. This man's my dad." Yeah, I'm sure these other men can hold on to the rope, but my dad's got to be holding on too. Amen? You know, no matter how deep the chasm of adversity might seem to be that you've been lowered into, just remember the Lord Jesus Christ has got a hold of you, okay? It's not your rope and you're tying in the end of it and trying to hang on best you can. No, he's got a hold of you, and he will not let go of you. You're safe and you're secure, and guess what? You're an overcomer and more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? Oh, it makes all the difference in the next life, but it makes all the difference in this life too. I hope you know him today. Oh, he is a wonderful Savior. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Thank you for listening to me this morning. Thank you for letting me be here.